Dear Heavenly Father, please help us understand your word through your Spirit and work in us that we may live your way. Amen. We consume an awful lot of content, don't we? It truly is the age of information, whether it is Netflix or Facebook, Instagram or podcasts. We consume a lot of media, even just music in the background or the TV while we cook. YouTube, Spotify, there are so many different news outlets and influencers and advertisements vying for our attention. And sometimes we even read books. Yet with all this content, how do we decide what to pay attention to? Do you just listen to your favourites? Maybe the rest is history. Watch the shows that have a high rating on IMDb. Or do you read the books that are recommended by your friends? How do we decide what to pay attention to? I guess when it comes down to it, my question is, has our consumption of all this media drowned out the trustworthy message we have? Has our consumption of media drowned out the trustworthy message? We maintain that we want to read the Bible, that it's true and good, but so often we spend more time in Facebook than in the book, or reading and watching the news than reading the good news, or listening to the words of influencers or musicians or experts than listening to the word of God. What is important? What is worth listening to? Peter begins by really emphasizing that Christians should remember or be reminded of God's word that leads to godly living. God's word leads to godly living. Read with me from 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. As you may recall from last week, if you're here with us, Peter is on limited time. Verse 13 and 14 make that clear, that well, Peter is in his body, he's still alive, but soon he will depart. He will put off this body, and so he'll no longer be alive. He's running out of time, and he has something to say before he goes. So this will be important. This will be the one thing he says before he departs. It'll be key, the most important thing he has to share. And he says, remember, I'll refresh your memory. I will remind you so that you'll always be able to remember. Again, it's that repetition of the remember phrase that shows just how important it is. And it's really important. He's writing to those that are already established in the truth. People have heard that Jesus died, rose again. They believe it. They trust God. And he wants these people to remember, to be reminded and refresh their memory of these things. Well, what are these things? Verse 12 begins by saying, so, or therefore. So I will always remind you of these things. The so means it relates back to last week with the first half of the chapter. And that type of phrase, these things, was throughout the passage from last week. Verse 8 said, these qualities or these things are good. Verse 9 talks about those who do not have these qualities. They're like the blind. Verse 10 says to practice these things. Peter wants to remind his audience of the godly qualities that are sought through the reading and applying of God's word. Godly qualities that are sought through the reading and applying of God's word. Verse 3 puts it like this. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It refers to everything, all things. So God's power has given us all things to enable a godly life. And it's through our knowledge of him that enables this godly life. That knowledge that we get from the Word of God. So, just as we continue, the question is, are you reading God's Word in a way that changes how you live? When you read the Bible, do you consider how it impacts your day-to-day life? We'll pick that thought up at the end. But for now, Peter goes on to remind us of what we know of God and how we know it. And it's important that we know Jesus and God, because that God pertains to life and godliness. That knowledge shows us how to live a godly life. It's the true and real Word of God. The true and real Word of God. Read with me verse 16 to 18. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. He begins here by saying, we, probably referring to James and John, didn't follow cleverly invented stories. It's not invented. Peter didn't make it up. They're not trying to deceive or lie to anyone with what they said. Nor is it a story. It isn't a myth. It's not a legend. This was real. Not only was it real, but we saw it happen. Peter saw it happen. This isn't a story that's grown out of proportion, the more people who tell it. This isn't a story that you pass down the line whispering and it changes each time. This is straight from the people who heard it, who saw it, the eyewitnesses. This is true, this happened. Peter's talking about that amazing moment in Mark 9, in Matthew 17, where he, James, and John were given a glimpse of the divine and heavenly glory of Jesus. They saw the glory as God's chosen king from Psalm 2 and God's chosen servant from Isaiah 42. They heard the voice call out from heaven. These are the same words that are in verse 17. I'll just repeat them for us. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." First of all, this is my psalm. This is a reference to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, I will read it out. "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance. The ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery.'" Psalm 2 declares, whoever is the Son of God, this Son will be a ruler and a judge over all the nations. God promised that there would be a king, a son, that would rule forever. And secondly, "whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." This is a reference to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, I'll read it out for us. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him and he will bring forth justice to the nations." You might recall the servant from our Isaiah series earlier. And if you most missed it, here are the spark notes of the servant. The servant was a person who was going to suffer and die, not needlessly, but for the sin, the wrongdoing, the rebellion of humanity. And he would be a light to the nations. That is, he would guide them from their evil ways. And here, he is the chosen of God, with whom God is pleased, who will bring justice to the nations. Peter draws attention to this moment that he witnessed. It's the bringing together of all these things. This is what you are to remember, that Jesus was powerful and glorious, and God said, Jesus is the king, the judge, God's Son, that he will die in the place of mankind and bring justice to all nations. Remember the gospel. That's what it is, right? Remember the gospel, that Jesus is the promised king, the one who would rule and judge all people, that he would suffer and die in the place of mankind, that he would bring justice to the nations. If you're here today and you aren't sure about this Jesus, first of all, it's great that you are here. We're so glad that you can think about Jesus and consider him here with us. Peter has been trying to show us that he is speaking the truth, that Peter saw who Jesus was among other people as eyewitnesses, and that Jesus is God's Son coming to judge and rule. That's what God said in the Bible, that it's completed by Jesus, all that God said in the Old Testament, completed by Jesus, dying on the cross and rising from the dead. That message, that's at the heart of what we believe as Christians. And it's important for you too, if you're here and you're not sure about him, because you do need to make a decision. Do you believe this? Do you believe Peter here and the apostles? Do you believe what happened in the Old Testament and its fulfillment in Jesus? Please carefully consider whether this might be true. And you don't have to figure it out all on your own, although your decision is your own. Ask whoever brought you what they believe and why they believe it. Or ask on the response slip. And somebody will get in touch with you. Or I'd happily chat with you, and I know Craig would as well. But what is true? That's what Peter is trying to emphasize here, that the gospel is true. The reason that we remember the gospel is so that we remain true to it, that we're not deceived by cleverly invented stories, by myths, legends, or lies, and also so that we can continue to grow in godliness, the godly qualities of last week. Growing in faith, goodness, knowledge, perseverance, self-control, mutual affection, love. The gospel directs us to live God's way. We have been saved, so now there is a good and right way to live. Not that we succeed all the time, but we know the right direction. We know the right way to live. Have you ever been tumbled by the surf? A big wave comes in and it just knocks you over. One time I was at Cronulla with one of my sisters. Waves rolling in. I jump over the waves. She jumps on my right over the waves. And we're having a grand old time, jumping over waves or through them. And I look out to the sea and there's this big wave coming. Excellent. Let's go for it. I brace myself and I leap. And I just make it over the wave. I look to my right. No sister. Just a leg waving in the air. And I grab it and hoist her back. Hoist her upright. We left pretty quickly after that. Living in this world is like being bowled over by a big wave. We don't know which way is up or down, what is right or what is wrong. And we have no way of finding out. We feel like we're drowning. But the gospel, God's word, it directs us. It shows us which way is up and which way is down. Not that we can save ourselves. We still need to be hoisted out of the water. But we have clear direction. We know the right way to live. We know which way is up. We should strive for that direction. So remember, the gospel, God's word, it directs us to live his way. And Peter continues talking then about the authority of God's word and its power. The authority of God's word, particularly found in the Old Testament. Read with me verses 19 to 21. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We have the prophetic word made more certain. I imagine he's talking about the verses just previously, that the prophetic word found in the Old Testament, in Psalms, in Isaiah, it's more fully confirmed because they saw and heard it come true before their very eyes. So once again, Peter says, listen. Pay attention to a lamp shining in a dark place. We know that imagery. A lamp lights a dark place. You can see again. But how much greater would that imagery have been before the invention of electric lights so you can just turn on and off casually? In Sydney, we live in this constant glow of light, and you can see clearly sometimes even in the dark of night. Like, the headlights on our car aren't great, but in the city, it doesn't matter. You can see pretty clearly. But you go out in the country, it's really dark and hard to see. For people back then, the only light was the light of a lamp burning. Pay attention. Pay attention to God's word. But only until the dawn comes and the morning star arrives. Because when the sun is up, you don't need a lamp. You can see. When the dawn comes, it totally outshines the lamp. The morning star rising means we don't need to pay attention to the shining light, which is the gospel anymore, because we have the real and true light of Jesus. So what is the morning star? This phrase, it only occurs a few times in the Bible. And the most likely way that Peter is using it is to refer to the full and new life that is given by Jesus upon his coming, found in Revelation 2. So Revelation 2, I'll just read it out for us. 2 verses 26. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Here Jesus is speaking the words from Psalm 2. That when he returns, we won't need the light of the gospel because we'll have the real light of Jesus in our very being, in our hearts. In fact, we are given a new life and place with Jesus. But, again from 2 Peter, until then, pay attention. And we pay attention because the word of God, the gospel, it's not from man. It is from God. It was spoken through men, but they were carried by the Holy Spirit. It was the work of God. What does that mean for us? Firstly, that the Bible is divinely inspired. It's not the sole work of men that you might read it and you work out, like you do with everything else, whether it's relevant or important. This has real and great authority more than anything else, more than our traditions or experiences or our logic. It's good for us more than what we consider is good for us. It is correct and right. Secondly, the word of God is revealed. It's written down by men such that we can understand it. That means that it is meant to be read, not heard once and forgotten, not in one ear and out the other, but this is a preservation and rereadability to the written word of God. It's for remembering and meditation. God's word is how we should seek to grow in godly quality. But if we aren't reading God's word, how do we expect to grow? A bit of luck? Trial and error? I personally find that if I try and meander my own way without God's word, I end up down the error side more than not. That I do go my own way. We need God's word to speak into our lives, to be daily reading it. And not just the New Testament, but the Old too. Peter has referred to it quite clearly here. I don't say this to guilt you into reading, but rather to remind you that it is God's word, not our own, that we want to shape our lives. We know this, don't we? That it's God's word that shapes our lives. So why do we find it hard to get the time to do it? Maybe what we need to be is explicit to our family and also to our friends. This doesn't just have to be a home thing with family, with friends at church too. Like your non-Christian colleagues or friends, they'll ask you how your week was. I'm not saying don't catch up at church, but this is likely the only place where a catch-up can involve a deeper conversation, like how has God's word shaped your life recently? An example of this conversation might be something like this. What are you reading in God's word? Well, I'm reading Galatians 1. How did what you read, how's that going to shape your life? Well, as I was thinking about it, I wonder if I seek the approval of man too much, and that's maybe why I don't share the gospel with my friends. I'm going to tell Ben a bit more about Jesus today. Follow up on that too. How did it go? Not great. We chatted about Mark 1 and he cut off the conversation when we started getting to evil spirits. Talk to one another. Ask how it went. Ask how reading God's word shapes how you will live. Because God's word is true and good. Let's continue to read it. It's inspired by God and revealed by him to us. It tells us how we know God and what a godly life looks like. Let's help one another to read it. Let us keep reminding ourselves of God's word. Read it and meditate on it. Think about it. This is what's going to keep out deceitfulness and myths that we're going to hear about more next week. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to live your way. Let us read the Bible and for it to be on our hearts and minds. Let us pay close attention to it. Shape our lives, God, with your power and the Holy Spirit through the word. Amen.